It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis, along with Loudon Espinosa and Senator John Braun. A group of, and I'm not making this up, they call themselves Socialist Democrats, have come out with a new proposal. It's a jobs tax, basically. It's a tax that would be paid by employers like Microsoft, and Microsoft is the prime example because it's a statewide tax that Seattle already has. Why don't you explain it, Senator Braun?
Yeah, they call it a jumpstart tax. They call it a payroll tax. The reality is it's an innovation tax, or it's jobs tax, I guess what I'd say, because it goes after very well-paying jobs in Washington State. It comes in and says, first of all, it's not a real payroll tax as they say it is, because the employee doesn't pay it. The employer pays it. It's exactly the same thing as they rolled out last year. We showed very clearly to the public weighed on this, that this was going to drive good-paying jobs out of the state, just like it's already done for good-paying jobs in Seattle. They have the same tax or very similar tax in Seattle. We have tens of thousands of jobs that have moved out of Seattle, either across the lake to Bellevue or out of the state entirely. And that's exactly what they're trying to suggest we do to the entire state. It's terrible for our economy. It's terrible for our citizens. It's just another let's tax first policy from the Democrats that Washington can't afford.
The sponsor of this legislation, he's a member of the House, suggested that if Microsoft or Amazon were to leave, that cooperatives of employees could start similar companies and generate the same kind of money that these big tech companies are generating.
That's entirely nonsense. I don't know what the heck they think. I challenge them to point to one example in Washington, heck, in the entire world, of a cooperative that's come remotely close to a Microsoft. You know, even pick a smaller example. I mean, look, we have dozens, hundreds of nonprofits in Seattle, in King County, who can barely operate themselves when we're shoveling them state money. The idea that they're somehow going to pick up where Microsoft left off and support our economy is complete nonsense.
They're going to take over the whole Redmond campus over there and a nice little commune.
Well, and not only that, what they fail to understand is, we have, the state budget, and a big portion of the state budget is supported by money from the federal government. Hmm. And federal government pays for these things by collecting income tax. Right. So they're going to say Microsoft, who does make money, they're a profitable company and pays significant income tax to the federal government. We're going to replace that by a commune or a cooperative that pays no income tax. So that cuts off the money not only in our local economy, but also the federal government, which largely comes back to us. It's absolute economic nonsense.
I think I saw Washington Policy Center's new budget guy. He was talking about basically, right, the state's budget is funded from these businesses that are going to be penalized, and then downstream the jobs that won't happen or will leave. That's a big problem for us, right? I mean, as much as some of the Democrat socialists might like to say business bad, we really rely on those to fund critical services at the state level. Right.
That's right. And I don't even think they really understand what democratic socialism is. Right. Yeah. That's just a nice moniker. They're really socialist. But let's say democratic socialist. But if you actually go look at democratic socialist countries, say in Europe or Scandinavia, they believe in the private sector. They believe in private sector employers. So they really have just. They just absolutely don't understand the difficult situation they're trying to force our state into. We've been so blessed in the last decade, I would argue, the last couple of decades, with a very robust, resilient economy. Look at what our economy did during the pandemic, how well we worked through that. Heck, we even had significant surpluses during that time period. This is because of the very, frankly, exceptional performance of companies like Microsoft, like Amazon. There's dozens of others who are headquartered and operate out of Seattle and have been, for a long time while we had the majority in the Senate, had a very light touch and were allowed to go, invest and innovate and prosper, and that them prospering as companies led to a broader economy that was good for all Washingtonians. They want to continue to undermine all of that.
So that's a proposal from the Democratic Socialists. I'm the more just progressive or Democrat.
Or just socialist.
Yeah, the more progressive Democrats are suggesting an income tax may be proposed this session. Why is that bad?
Well, let's just start with, you know, they love to talk about, you know, they're out there protecting democracy. You know, this is a proposal or proposals like ones that have been rejected by the people of the state of Washington 13 times at the ballot box. This is people voting directly on an initiative or a referendum or a constitutional amendment in some cases, and they said no 13 times. Just last year, the people of the state of Washington put an initiative to the legislature in front of the legislature, and it was passed with most of the Democratic votes supporting it, saying we will have no income tax in the state of Washington. So in the face of all this pushback from the citizens in our state, their answer is, you know, consistent with their tax-first policy, well, let's try an income tax. And they think, well, this time we can make it work. This time we think we can get the state Supreme Court to say the precedent that says our Constitution doesn't allow income tax, you know, is not valid. They can overrule it after nearly 100 years. So it's frustrating at just a moral level that they would thumb their nose at the people of the state of Washington at the same time they like to trot out and say that they're out there protecting democracy. But if you just put that aside and talk about the economics of this, this is a very expensive proposal. There's different estimates, but some say, you know, it would collect somewhere between $3 and $4 billion per year. That is actually larger than the tax increase they put in place this year, which was an order of magnitude bigger than any tax increase in history. Now they want to come back, you know, a year later and do something even larger. I believe that it would change the flight of businesses from Washington to a steady flow out of Washington to an absolute, you know, mad rush to get out of Washington. Because the reality is what this does to companies, big and small, and they will claim it's just going after big companies, but it goes after companies of all sizes, is make them uncompetitive in Washington state, around the country, around the world. We would be uncompetitive as businesses to stay in Washington. So they would may have to make the very hard choice to leave the state.
I wanted to rewind a little bit, and you touched on it. It was like, how did we get here, right? You mentioned when the gavel fell in the 2025 session, humongous tax increase. If they were going to have another taxing mechanism that goes after everybody's paychecks, like, is there any good confidence you have that they would be better stewards of that? I mean, that's one thing I think they have a hard sell is, all right, you already give us a ton of money. We raised your taxes a ton more, and it's still not enough. But if you give us one more tool, we promise we're going to right the ship. Does that seem reasonable to you?
No. I think average voters get this. I mean, you can look, you know, talk to folks individually, but you look at polls. Voters understand two things. One, that we are overspending. We're not living within our means. Just, you know, they have to live within their means, whether it's a household budget or a small business budget. The state is not doing it. We've been growing at twice the rate of personal income for almost a decade. And we are still not living with our means. The solution this year by the Democratic or the legislative Democrats was to solve it by taxing, not by reducing spending, not by, you know, controlling spending, but by we're going to tax first. We're going to solve our problem by collecting more of your money. And two things are happening. One, you can't solve a spending problem by spending more money. And two, they're going to run out of money to collect because people are leaving the state. And they're going to – and this idea, well, good riddance, we didn't want them here anyhow. Those are the folks that are paying the bill.
Yeah.
At some point, they got to realize that.
Well, I mean, we saw over the summer, right? I mean, that B&O tax, hospitals are closing, right? I mean, you know, doctors are not taking – I mean, there's a whole bunch of other effects that happen.
I mean, schools, for goodness
sakes.
Oh, yeah,
what's the school thing?
Schools, you know, they're taxing schools. They're taxing – I mean, in ways nobody predicted. I mean, this you know, a little bit of a different issue, but this comes from, hey, it goes back to their tax-first policy and the fact that the ones they passed, they rolled out 11 days before the end of the session. They literally announced them and held a hearing the same day. There was virtually no public input, and they had to get them in place, had to get them on the books so quickly that even their own Department of Revenue didn't have time to put the rules in effect so small businesses would understand.
It's all a surprise.
Schools would understand. So nonprofits would understand. Yeah. All these folks are hit by the tax, and they really don't have a clear understanding to this day how it affects their services. It's chaos.
We're probably also going to see a wealth tax in this session. They passed one in the Senate last session. Yeah. You know, there are people out there saying, wealth, that seems like if wealth is taxed, that doesn't hurt me. So why should I be opposed to that?
I think they should absolutely be opposed to it. Again, go back to what I said earlier. We've been very fortunate to have the economy that we have in Washington for some time, for I would say a couple decades, certainly the last decade, that's been very prosperous. The folks who helped create that economy, the folks that brought innovation to our state, the folks that said, hey, I have an idea, I think I can build a new enterprise, and have come to Washington State and done that, and they and all the others around them, whether they're working directly for them or they're supplying them or they're supplying their employees, they've all prospered. Our state has prospered because of that, and now we're saying, nope, not anymore. We're going to add an additional tax for any kind of wealth generated and therefore any innovation you want to bring to Washington. Mm-hmm. What it means is simply they won't come to Washington to build businesses. You know, the reason we have the folks here that we have today is because we were an attractive place to come and do business. They did pay taxes. And I think the records show that clearly. They just didn't crush them with taxes so they could compete around the country and around the world. They were successful. And now the Democratic Socialists of the world, or just the Democrats of the world, want to solve, fix that problem by driving them out of state with a tax that makes them uncompetitive. And Washington, unattractive for that kind of investment.
So a jobs tax, an innovation tax, of the other one we talked
income
about.
Tax.
Income tax. It's hard to keep track.
it is.
So those are the three taxes. Now, Governor Bob Ferguson said yesterday that he wouldn't sign any bills that included taxes, but he was very specific. He said he wouldn't sign any tax increases, any property tax increases, or any sales tax increases.
Very, very suspiciously specific.
Well, do you think that was on purpose?
Call me a little jaded. One, that's not that different from what he said, just almost a year ago at the beginning of last session, where he wasn't interested in taxes, and yet he put his signature on the largest tax increases in state history, including property taxes, including sales tax. So I'm a little bit I'm not as convinced as others might be, but yeah, it is very. Very concerning that he specifically said, hey, I'm not going to sign the big taxes I already did this year. That makes me think, like, well, those are checked off. I've got those done. I'm time to get on to the others, and makes me very worried about what might come out of this session. And by the way, you know what we haven't talked about in this thing? We've not talked about any tax reductions. You know, they love to say, hey, we're going to roll out progressive taxes, which they didn't do in this last year. There was entirely regressive taxes. But now they're talking about more, quote, progressive taxes, and nobody's talking about tax reductions.
Yeah, sales tax relief
In fairness, they had a couple members roll out a tiny sales tax reduction last year that never even made it out of committee. They were never serious. It was just a talking point.
I talked to a Republican who said, I wouldn't mind an income tax if they got rid of the sales tax. Now, I know you don't like income taxes for other reasons, but let's say would that happen? I mean, there are other states have both income taxes and sales taxes. I mean, do you think the sales tax would ever go away even if there was a full income tax?
I don't think there's any future where the Democratic majorities repeal any taxes.
Additional taxes.
This is all additional taxes. And we should be clear. Two things I would say. One, they're not saying, hey, we're going to undo sales tax, or we're going to undo maybe more appropriately the business and occupation tax, which is a gross margin tax. To have that and an income tax at the same time, you're literally taxing the top line and the bottom line on businesses at the same time. Makes Washington very uncompetitive around the country and around the world. They are not interested. Here's the thing I think they miss, because they love to trot out the report that says, hey, we're the most regressive in the country, which, A, isn't true. Mm-hmm. There's other studies that say that aren't as you know, put out by a very one-sided partisan think tank in Washington, D.C., to say, no, we're not actually that regressive. But more importantly, why don't we trust people, right? If you look at migration around our country, it's undeniable. People are moving. People of all income levels, high income levels to low income levels, are moving from income tax states to non-income tax states. All right, so we have millions of people migrating to what the Democrats are saying are the bad places, the people, the places that are bad for them, and they're saying we know better. Not me. I believe the people know better what's bad for them, and what we see the people doing is moving out of states that tax them at a high rate and into states that tax them at a low rate, and particularly out of income tax states and into non-income tax states. And that was true for Washington for some time until we raised every other tax. We had a lot of migration into Washington for the simple reason that we are viewed as an attractive place when it came to taxes. That's not true any longer.
I think Washington also has the highest – we haven't even talked about gas taxes too, right? I mean,
I think we're second right now, but not exactly. Exactly, a place of distinction. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
We're number two.
If you add the Climate Commitment Act tax, because that's a tax too, essentially.
Absolutely a tax. And thankfully, the gas prices around the country are coming down because of you know broader energy policy that's bringing down the. But in Washington, we're still roughly $1.30 higher than the national average.
Shocking.
So I mean, I'm happy to see the national average coming down, but we're still paying a whole lot more than our neighbors in Oregon and Idaho, and way more than the folks in the Midwest and the Southeast.
Governor Jay Inslee used to say, "Look, the prices have come down. Gas prices are down. What are you talking about?" Well, you really need to compare it to other states.
Take a trip to the Midwest or to
Idaho,
and take a gander at the prices over there. And those are real dollars. Yeah. People who are struggling affording to live in Washington, these are real dollars. This is adds up to a couple $100 a month maybe. Well, that's big money when you take it over a year. That's a big deal to a family that's trying to make their way in Washington.
Oh, by the way, I mean transportation costs to get your clothes and your groceries. I mean the downstream effect of high gas prices hits you multiple ways.
Well, that's an excellent point. Gas prices affect transportation. Transportation affects everything: food, gas, housing, childcare, healthcare. Mm-hmm. All these have a transportation component.
We have a coworker who's just in Alabama and bought his daughter a Happy Meal, and the Happy Meal was like $3.50 or something like that. He bought the same exact Happy Meal, same exact toy and everything, same exact Happy Meal in Washington, Pierce County, and it was nearly $7, nearly twice as much as Alabama. Now, people will say, well, Washington's such a better state than Alabama, and you hear that a lot from Democrats. Oh, our state's so great. I mean, are we that much better than Alabama?
The numbers don't say we're better at all.
Yeah.
Look at the cost of living. Look at the services provided. People say, well, we're a high cost, high service state. Not true in Washington. Across the board, when you look at services provided by state agencies, we are failing. Look at education. I don't know the numbers for Alabama off the top of my head, but we know Mississippi is beating us. We know Louisiana is beating us. I'd be frankly surprised if we don't see Alabama is beating us.
I mean, Mississippi is the poorest state in the—
And yet they're kicking our butt when it comes to education, as an example.
Educational attainment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so this is all based on a false notion. If you really think, hey, we're going to tax more, but we're going to deliver more. Well, I don't agree with that philosophy personally, but you better deliver on what you say you're going to do, and you're not. They're not even coming close. We have failure after failure after failure by state government across agencies, and the result is, just pay us a little bit more. I know we're more expensive than anybody else in the country, but just pay us a little more and we'll do better next time. I think the voters are fed up with it. They're tired of waiting for them to do better next time because they're not getting there.
Well, we have probably one more of these podcasts before the 2026 legislative session. And it's going to be an interesting session because these things really are coming. It sounds like a lot of talk, but from what I understand is that these are real proposals that will be considered by Democrats who are in the majority. Not much Republicans can do to stop them. I mean, really, at this point. So buckle up.
Absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're fighting. We'll push back on these. And our hope is we can go some find thoughtful folks on the other side of the aisle that recognize the harm they are already doing and the additional harm these would do to our state. We just can't afford it. Washington can't afford the tax-first policy that the Democrats have, are rolling out. We can't afford their regulatory policy. We can't afford their ideologically driven environmental policy. They are creating a state that no longer is affordable for the vast majority of folks who live here. And we're going to go make that case. And I mean, you got to be optimistic in this position, but we're going to have to find folks on the other side of the aisle that are willing to be, you know, thoughtful and clear-eyed and say, this is wrong for our state. We got to help Republicans push back.
I saw that the one economist in the economics professor in the Senate Democratic caucus who really opposed rent control because she knew the economics just didn't work out is leaving that caucus. It was like it seems to be going the – do you feel like Democrats have been going the other direction, you know, moving farther to the left, or is that just – my perception.
I don't think there's any question. If you look at the, you know, the politics of the caucus as a whole, kind of generalized, absolutely, they continue to move further and further to the left. And even if the whole group isn't moving, they have this very hard-edged, very
like a purity test,
assertive, progressive, far-left, you know, small group that basically attacks not just Republicans. They attack their own members if they don't get the you know, they don't get the pure progressive social Democrat policy that they think will fix the world. In spite of the fact, the evidence that they're not fixing the world, they're harming, at least they're harming Washington State in very real ways that the people of Washington State are having trouble affording.
More on this coming up in a couple weeks and, of course, throughout the 2026 legislative session. For Lavin Espinoza and Senator John Braun, I'm Tracy Ellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.